Robert here, your host for Making the Movies. Today we have a special episode. We are going to take a look at the life, music, and pop culture influence of legendary guitarist Django Reinhardt.
And straight jazz became hot thanks to a few musicians whose remarkable improvisations gave jazz a new lease on life. Listen to Django Reinhardt. Finally, here is Stefan Grappelli, virtuoso violinist of hot jazz.
Jean Reinhardt was born on January 23, 1910, in the Belgian village of Liberchies in Pontacellis. His father, Jean-Baptiste Reinhardt, real name Jean-Eugène Weiss, was an artist. The father took on this name to avoid compulsory military service. His mother, Laurence Reinhardt, was a dancer. They were descendants of northern India Romani gypsies. One theory is Django is Romani for I awake. Another is that Django was the Walloon version of Jean. Walloon being a Romance language native to Wallonia, a village in Belgium, but was also spoken in northern France, Canada, and even Wisconsin. Django spent most of his childhood in Romani encampments. He would steal from non-Romani, as was applauded by the culture, but he also learned violin and the banjo guitar. He grew up around music, with his father being a gifted piano player. Being illiterate, Django didn't learn from books, but from studying the finger placements of the performers in the encampments. By the age of 15, Django was making a living as a musician. At the age of 17, Django married Florine Bella Mayor. Mayor was from the same settlement as Django, which was custom of the Romani. At 18, he had his first recording session. These 1928 recordings had him playing the banjo. His recordings were garnering him much attention in Europe. At one of his performances in France, British band leader Jack Hilton was in attendance and offered him a job. Django quickly accepted. Before Django could perform with Hilton's band, tragedy struck. On the night of November 2nd, a candle was knocked over inside the wagon Florine and Django slept in. The candle ignited the celluloid used by Florine to make artificial flowers. He was badly injured, with burns over half of his body and his left hand badly damaged. Only three fingers were movable after the fire. He was hospitalized for 18 months. While refusing surgery, Django was able to walk again with the aid of a cane. With the loss of the use of his fourth and fifth finger, doctors thought he would never be able to play an instrument again. Thanks to his brother Joseph, Django was given a new guitar that allowed him to adapt his playing style. In 1928, Florine gave birth to their son, Henry Luçon Reinhardt. Sadly, the couple would split shortly after. Florine would remarry and Henry would take on the surname of Baumgartner. Django would travel throughout France, taking up gigs as he came across them. He found a new girlfriend, Sophie Ziegler. The pair were distant cousins. It was during this time that an acquaintance introduced jazz to Django. French artist Emily Savitri had a collection of records featuring Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington. Hearing this music gave Django the inspiration he needed. He wanted to be a jazz musician. Instrument-wise, he took up the Selmer guitar, a French design guitar known for its oval sound hole. While discovering jazz music, he met the man who would be his greatest collaborator, violinist Stefan Grappelli. You can't talk about Django Reinhardt without talking about Grappelli. Grappelli was born on January 26, 1908, in Paris, France. His father, Ernesto, was a translator and writer who specialized in Italian. His mother, Anna, would pass away while he was very young. With Stefan's father being an Italian citizen, he was drafted to fight in World War I. American dancer Isadora Duncan was living in Paris at the time, and Ernesto pleaded to her to care for Stefan while he was away. Under Isadora's care, Stefan learned dancing and enjoyed the French Impressionist music. As the war continued on, Isadora fled France. Her chateau was converted into a military hospital. Stefan was put in a Catholic orphanage, an experience he absolutely hated. Little to no food or aid from the French government left the orphanage in destitute. When the war ended, Ernesto and Stefan became nationalized French citizens in July of 1919. At age 12, he started to learn the violin. He was unhappy with receiving lessons and opted to learn on his own. Similar to Django, Stefan learned by watching other musicians. In his case, he studied the street buskers. At age 15, he was a full-time street performer after his father remarried, and Stefan didn't get along with his father's new wife. Soon, he picked up a job as a member of a pit orchestra, playing along with silent films at the Théâtre Gaumont. During breaks from the orchestra, he would visit a local casual restaurant. There, the jukebox would play jazz, thus sparking Stefan's love for the genre. In 1931, Stefan met Django Reinhardt for the first time. Commitments to their then-current bands prevented them from working together. In 1934, they met again and formed the Quintet du Hot Club de France. Joining them were bassist Louis Vola, as well as rhythm guitarist Robert Chaput and Joseph Reinhardt. They played various clubs in France, notably the Los Grosse Pommes and R26. The group performed with various lineups until they separated completely in 1948. When World War II broke out, Django left for France with his wife in the United Kingdom. Stefan chose to stay back as well. Doing so put his life at risk because of his Romani heritage, and he was a jazz musician. The Romani suffered under the Nazis like many others. German Romani were herded into camps and sterilized. They were forced to wear a brown gypsy triangle on their clothes, similar to the yellow Star of David for the Jews and pink triangle for homosexuals. Many of the Romani were killed in concentration camps. In France, they were forced into slave labor. German hostility towards jazz was the case for years. In the late 1910s, Germany banned jazz music. When Hitler rose to power, the ban continued. Hitler and Joseph Goebbels, Germany's Minister of Propaganda, saw jazz as a threat to Germany's dominance. With the ban on jazz in France, Django explored other music. One piece to come out of this period was the melancholic track Nuages. The crowd at a live performance made Django replay the song three times. According to the stats available, Nuages sold over 100,000 copies as a 78 record. In 1943, Django married Sophie. They had a son, Babik Reinhardt. At the end of the war, Django was fortunate to escape any danger from the Nazis. Post-war, Django reunited with Stefan, as well as toured with Duke Ellington and his orchestra. He was dissatisfied since he wasn't used that much in the sets by Ellington. He returned to France to perform before cafe crowds. Here, he tried an electric guitar for the first time, having failed to bring his Selmer. He disliked the instrument due to the incompatibility with his playing style. In 1951, Django retired from music in north central France. On May 16, 1953, he suffered from a brain hemorrhage and died shortly after. He was 43 years old. Despite passing away so young, the influence of Django Reinhardt on music and popular culture is undeniable. He's considered to be the creator of gypsy jazz. Many festivals celebrate the genre with giving credit to Django. Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and the United States have such festivals. What is it about his music that led to this quasi-immortality? In 2010, I had the pleasure of seeing Buffalo Zone Babik, a local gypsy jazz quartet. I asked band member Joshua Assad, now with Hot Club of Buffalo, what it was that made Django's music so special. His reply? The essence and vibe of this music is timeless, infectious, and carries an everlasting joy regardless of your background and age. This music is played with heart and plays to the heart. It is pure spirit. He is the guitar god for guitar gods. Tommy Iommi of Black Sabbath credits Django for inspiring him to take guitar back up after losing a few of his fingertips.
Yeah.
Let's finish with the show and tell from you, Tony, which is Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli. This was these have been this kind of music favorite of yours from way back, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah, without Django Reinhardt, I probably wouldn't be playing. He sort of, when I chopped the ends of my fingers off, that really inspired me, you know.
Yes, because he lost two fingers completely, didn't he? In a fire in his caravan.
Absolutely, and that really inspired me to carry on, you know.
In a 1985 interview with Fretz magazine, Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead sings Django's praises. I have all of Django's records, every single one of them. Most of what he plays is even hard to understand, no matter how much I've listened to it. In terms of the actual technical, how it's happening. Because I listen to it and I hear when a note is being struck and when a note is being articulated with the left hand somehow. And he does this thing, I don't know how he's doing them. I can't imagine, you know, he's got fingers that are about a half a mile long. I mean, I just don't know how he's doing it. And this with a fucked up left hand. He's able to cross his fingers to do runs where the middle finger crosses over the index finger. That much I figured out because there are things he plays that work that way, and he couldn't do them any other way. There's no other way he could do them, and they're lightning fast. His technique is awesome. Even today, nobody has really come to the state that he was playing at. As good as players are, they haven't gotten to where he is. The Guardian's John Young interviewed Ritchie Blackmore, former guitarist for Deep Purple, in April of 2015. Young asked, "Did you have it in your mind to rock?" Blackmore's response was, "Yeah, because there was this guy called Tommy Steele prancing around with a guitar, and Presley and all that lot. I wanted to do that just like everybody else. Duane Eddy, then Hank P. Marvin, then Django Reinhardt." In his second autobiography, A Long Story, My Life, Willie Nelson pays his respects to Django. "This was a man who changed my musical life by giving me a whole new perspective on the guitar and, on an even more profound level, on my relationship with sound. During my formative years, as I listened to Django's records, especially songs like Nuage, that I would play for the rest of my life, I studied his technique. Even more, I studied his gentleness. I love the human sound he gave his acoustic guitar." Jeff Beck of the Yardbirds, in an interview with Guitar World, stated, "By far the most astonishing guitar player ever has got to be Django Reinhardt. I'm sort of a newcomer to his work, although I was always aware of him. Django was quite superhuman. There's nothing normal about him, as a person or a player. His electric playing in the 40s is just humiliating. His lead lick, phew, I slow them down and I still can't grasp what he's doing. Recently I acquired some rare, scratchy, black and white film of Django playing. It's the most glorious but tantalizing short footage, but he's playing like crazy. I've been studying it in slow motion and all you can see are these two grubby fingers going like lightning up and down the fretboard." In a May 1984 interview with Guitar World, Stevie Ray Vaughan shared his thoughts on Django Reinhardt. "To me, Django and Jimmy are doing the same thing in a lot of ways. Django would do this with acoustic guitar and Jimmy would do it on electric, using feedback and things. Instead of using feedback, Django would just shake those strings like crazy. And neither one of them had anything to build on. They just did it. Django didn't have any book or anything to borrow from. He wrote the book." Many of the pieces performed by Django were performed by other artists, often overshadowing Django's performance. To illustrate, I'll play the Django version first, followed by the well-known version. I'll give a few examples. Here's Sweet Georgia Brown. Another example, Georgia on My Mind.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, babe, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind all the land. Georgia, Georgia, the song of you comes as soft as clear.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
And one more, Lemire. Music website Off the Tracks listed Django Reinhardt as the 9th greatest guitar player of all time. Django's influence isn't limited to music. Many in the film industry have been inspired by his work. Django himself composed the music for the 1947 French drama The Village of Wrath. It was at the New York Film Critics Circle Awards Martin Scorsese won the Best Director Award for Hugo. In his acceptance speech, he specifically thanked Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli, and the Hot Club de France. Actor Emil Lager had a cameo as Django in Hugo, playing to an audience including Salvador Dali and James Joyce. Woody Allen is another cinema luminary that admired Django. Emmett Ray, the musician protagonist of the 1999 Allen film Sweet and Low Down, was a devoted fan of Django. Stardust Memories and Allen's segment in New York Stories feature the music of Django Reinhardt. Other films that feature his music include Catch-22, L.A. Story, The Matrix, Chocolat, and The Aviator from 2004. In 2017, Django, a biopic of Reinhardt, was released, opening the 67th Berlin International Film Festival. In 2010, Belgium printed a commemorative coin in honor of the 100th birthday of Django Reinhardt. Many, including myself, were introduced to Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli through different video games, most notably Mafia and Bioshock. For over the past century, the music of Django Reinhardt will still find its way to the ears of an audience, be it a film, video game, or through browsing a music streaming service. His music will never fade away, never die, as long as there is at least one person who embraces it for the audio joy it is and gives. All right, before I close out, let me go ahead and give you my top five Django Reinhardt songs. Number five, Runnin' Wild. Number four, Jeepers Creepers. Number three, I'll See You in My Dreams. 2, Liza and All the Clouds Will Roll Away. Django's Tiger. Of this episode of Making the Movies. Thanks for listening. Feel free to leave your favorite Django Reinhardt track in the comments or on social media. Next time, we'll be taking a look at the cinematic trio of films from the beloved British comedy troupe Monty Python. On the docket are Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Monty Python's The Life of Brian, and Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. I'm on Twitter and Facebook. You can reach me via Gmail. If you'd like to see this program grow, a one-time donation via PayPal is always welcomed. In addition to Spotify, Google Play, Podomatic, and iTunes, you can hear my show on listennotes.com and player.fm, which I didn't know about until a week ago. Links to everything will be in the description. I'll also have a listing of the sources for this episode in the description as well. Until next time, this is Mackenzie Lambert for Making the Movies. Take care, folks.